south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Hey, how about this, all you folks thinking about moving to Bolivia or perhaps Ecuador? And by the way, there'll be a lot of construction jobs for the next year or so, because you see, that giant 7.8 earthquake let a little air out of that real estate bubble. However, big earthquakes like that always tend to drive prices up because there's a shortage of laborers. Not to mention, people with dough want things fixed right now, and they'll pay more every time. So really, if I was you, I'd cross Ecuador off my list, except for a vacation. That said, this news comes today from La Paz, Bolivia's biggest newspaper. It says here that President Evo Morales agrees heartily with President Rafael Correa of Ecuador that the best candidate for the presidency of the United States is, guess who? Time's up. How about Bernie Sanders? You see, according to Evo Morales and Rafael Correa, who are big Bernie Sanders fans, they say his posturings are decidedly socialist and, in fact, anti-capitalista. That's anti-capitalist. And they both agree with such great credentials, he's by far the best candidate for the job. Hey, with a fan base like that, all Bernie needs now is an endorsement from the Castro brothers. Now, of course, in light of that monster 7.8 earthquake in Ecuador last week, where presently the death count is nearing 500, isn't it funny that socialist President Rafael Correa will gladly accept any and all help and donations from whatever capitalist business, capitalist country, or capitalist organization that cares to donate? Yep, in good times he pisses on capitalism and democracy, and in bad times he has his hand out begging. You get that? You know, I wonder how Bernie feels about getting those big-time international endorsements. Must be pleased as punch, huh? So yes, do vote, but vote with your feet. Get the hell out of Dodge as soon as you can. And if you think things can't get any worse, you ain't seen nothing yet. Oh, and here's some cool news. According to the Pan American International School of Business, in a recent poll of 2,300 Latin business students who had their own credit cards, they were asked what the monthly fee was that their credit card company was charging them. 60% of them said they didn't know exactly. 35% who did pick a number were wrong. In other words, they guessed. And only 5% of them knew what their monthly interest rate was on their credit card, within plus or minus 5 percentage points. And get this, the vast majority of them said they didn't care what interest rate their credit card company charged, as long as they qualified for one, or two, or 10. The question is, do you know what your credit card or credit card's monthly interest rates are? Does anybody really care? Hey, now here's something that's bound to please all you guys and gals living in California, and it's just now filtering through the daily general conversations of Latin Americans everywhere. You see, it turns out there's a brand new law called AB 1461 in California, and get this, according to this new law and a report by the Washington Times, all California residents getting new licenses or renewals are automatically registered at the DMV to vote. So as it turns out, new California residents will no longer be required to fill out a voter registration or voter ID form. The goal is to ease barriers to voting, said a spokesperson for Governor Jerry Brown. But election integrity advocates warn the measure will inadvertently add millions of illegals to the voting rolls, automatically, given that California now allows undocumented, that is, illegal aliens, to obtain legal driver's licenses by going down to the DMV. Meanwhile, California bureaucratic lunkheads and politicians are praising the law. For example, Alex Padilla, California's Secretary of State, says, quote, citizens should not be required to opt in for their fundamental right to vote. We don't have to opt in to other rights, such as free speech or due process. The right to vote should be no different. And State Assemblywoman Lorraine Gonzalez from San Diego says, this bill will lead to millions more registered voters in California, which means better communication with the people we serve. So there you have it. Now, if anyone thinks this is BS or hyperbole, just look up California Law AB 1461. So get this, that law was voted on in October and November 2015. That's when it went into effect, and it took about 4 to 5 months for the news to trickle down here to Latin America. And now it seems at every baptism, quinceañeros party, and birthday party, if you were to sit down to eavesdrop or you were a fly on the wall, and you knew your Spanish, when the conversation got around to the folks up in Cleveland or Detroit sending back those remises, you just might notice, along with the latest news from the barrios up in the land of the American dream, you'll hear some chatter about that prince of a governor in California, Jerry Brown, and that wide-open driver's license law that just went through. By the way, he's endorsing a wide-open border, too. Now, I've been at a few get-togethers where people have been talking about this, and they're ecstatic, and it seems everyone wants to go to California now, instead of Texas, New York, or Cleveland. However, I asked around, and none of the Latins I talked to knew you'd automatically be signed up as a voter. Because, you see, for Latins down here with the American dream on their mind, they just want to get there, get a job, get some decent papers, and, of course, step one, get a legal driver's license, and the only place to get that right now is California. And the final step is to eventually get their share of that fantastic U.S. social safety net they've all heard about. And you know, if you're stuck in a conversation like that up in a party in the States, don't let them tell you otherwise. I'm getting my info down here from the horse's mouth, from the common Latin people. And anyone who disagrees with what I just said needs to learn some Spanish and get some boots on the ground down here off the gringo tourist trail. You really need to have a conversation with some of the average Latin people down here. But back to the point. Which political party do you think will benefit the most when millions and millions of illegal Latins suddenly get the vote? Yeah, I know, most will vote Libertarian and the others will vote for Trump, right? Well, it really doesn't matter. You just let them vote any way they want while you get your Plan B together and vote with your feet. You know what I'm going to say next, right? Come on down to my July 2016 Expat Insider Seminar. Now, I'm not going to beat you over the head with this anymore. I'm just going to say go to www.thenewexpat.com and click on the seminar link on the top of the page. Check it out and sign up. And don't forget, as of this broadcast, you got about a week and a half to sign up and get that $500 per person early bird discount. Remember, that offer expires on May 1st and then we're back to the regular price. So the question is, do you have a plan B? Do you want a 2 to 5 year head start on becoming an expat? You know, one of the big points of the seminar is to help you avoid the mistakes I made in the first 5 years I was down here in Latin America. And remember, I came down with zero Spanish too. And the other big point of the seminar is to hook you up with a network of people that is expats and trusted professionals so that when you get down here, you won't be on your own. You won't be an orphan. You'll have people to call and connect with immediately from the get-go. Okay, enough said about that, which brings us to an email. It starts, "Dear Johnny, enjoy your podcast. Hoping to retire to the Altiplano somewhere in the spring of 2018. My Social Security kicks in then, but somehow I don't expect it to be available then, and I'm trying to concentrate on saving hard assets furiously now. So there isn't much talk up here in the States of the upcoming financial collapse, and you've spoken of it too. Some say that many will lose their job. Stock markets will fall considerably, and the Fed will just print up more money, and life will go on and on, as usual. Others, however, say that can't be, and are predicting a big collapse of the petrodollar and a complete failure of the global fiat currency. They're saying banks will be closed for months, millions out of work, civil unrest, etc., etc., along with Social Security pensions evaporating, food riots, chaos, all the worst parts of that Bible stuff. Now, I've converted many of my assets to gold and silver, as so many people recommend, and I'm wondering what the policy is about bringing gold and silver into one of the Latin countries, for example, Guatemala, Honduras, Belize, whatever. What about getting it into a Latin country surreptitiously? And Johnny, did you know that at many Mexican-Texas border crossings, they now have U.S. checkpoints for inspection on the way out? They actually shake you down to find out what you're taking through. They don't want us leaving, and they sure don't want us to take any of our, I mean, their assets with us. I actually plan on driving down, having followed all of yours and others' notes about making the trip by car. But I'm wondering, if I do make it down unscathed, with whom and where would I be able to exchange my gold and silver if needed? Jewelry stores, maybe? I don't think Central and South American countries have pawn shops, do they? I have some silver and mercury dimes. They're 90% silver, you know, called junk silver, by the way, for easy barter. Still, how and with whom would one change gold with? Also, if things get really bad up here, couldn't things be much worse down there? Have you thought of whether there might be a call to have all foreigners deported, regardless of legal status? I lived in a Dominican Republic in the 90s, and I know the government would just make shit up as they went along, and as needed. The good news is that once the dust settles, most Latin countries, it looks like, appear to have self-sustaining food production. So when the world markets crash, there may not be any gasoline or razor blades, but food production doesn't have to travel 3,000 miles in a semi to go to market. Not in Latin America. Okay, let's take these points one at a time. First of all, when that big crash comes, and it will because there's too many tipping points that are on the brink right now. By the way, don't ask me to pick an exact time. My crystal ball's got a crack in it. Now, I can speculate, and I've heard people peg it within the next 6 months. Who knows? I do know that the QE card has been played, and it only served to prop up the real estate, the derivative, and the stock market bubbles. So QE was the final card, the joker in the Fed's deck. So there is really no more kicking the can down the road. Guess you all know that by now. Hope you've got your plan B in motion. Anyway, for all you guys and gals out there worried about losing your Social Security check sometime in the future, well, I'd say that's the last thing that's going to happen. Since the U.S. government continues to print money at will, they'll just keep printing money for those Social Security checks and other entitlements. The question is, what's the dollar going to be worth when the dust settles, and what's it going to buy? Now, Richard, in his email, mentions that there are Tex-Mex border inspection stations upon exiting the U.S. I know that's true because I know of cases where cars and mobile homes have been searched, and that's on the way to Mexico and parts south. And of course, while they're rifling through your stuff, they ask a lot of questions about what you're bringing down south. So what are they looking for? Certainly not drugs. I mean, that's against the flow of nature. Whoever heard of bringing drugs to Mexico from the States? All they could be looking for is assets that you're taking out of the country, like gold, silver, cash, etc. Now, as far as bringing gold and silver to a Latin American country, like, for example, Guatemala or Honduras, Belize, whatever, you have to believe philosophically that they'd want you to bring in as much as you possibly can, because then you're going to spend it and use it in their country, right? Create jobs, improve the citizenry and all that. In fact, it's always when you leave a country, whether it's a first world country or a Latin country, that you fill out a customs form. And of course, all us frequent travelers lie on those forms. Don't deny it. You know the drill. They're asking questions like, what do you want to declare? Are you bringing more than 10 grand out of the country, etc.? Now, of course, on the way in to any country, Latin countries too, you'll have to fill out a form that asks if you bring any goods into the country, because you know if you're bringing a TV or a microwave, stuff you bought in another country, they're going to want to charge their import duty or tax when you bring it in. That said, here's my advice. If you're just flying in with a few suitcases or maybe a couple extra boxes from home, you'll find that could be very easy. However, you really could end up beating your head against a wall for months if you try to ship a container down. You know, a lot of people think they have to pack up all their household items, put them in a container, and ship them down to wherever they're going to be in Latin America, and that'd be cool. Then they have a whole house full of all their stuff, the stuff they're used to. However, these days, that only seems to work out if you have a pensionado residency in a Latin country. Then your container comes in duty-free. The thing is, years ago, it was pretty easy, even for people who didn't have pensionado residency. But these days, import, export, and aduana rules are changing all the time and at a drop of a hat. And a lot of it depends on the mood and the attitude of your lazy, fat-ass, yellow-toothed government customs agent. The guy that checks out your container and assesses the taxes on it. Which is why I told that story on a previous Expat Files show of how my lawyer said, if you bring down a couple of good-looking ladies when they open up your container on the day of the inspection, you'll almost always pass through in record time and get a much cheaper tax rate, provided that your customs agent isn't female. Those jobs, by the way, are almost always held by males. So that's how customs works down here, if you can call that work. Hey, I didn't make up the rules. It's a macho society, and that's the way it is. Now, I mentioned before about the only way it's worth it to bring a container down is if you're a pensionado resident, sometimes called a rentista residency. They have those in quite a few Latin American countries, and they allow you to bring a container of household goods in duty-free. And each country is a little bit different. That's something you'll check out ahead of time with your Latin lawyer. However, I'd say in the vast majority of cases, people who bring containers full of furniture in are not pensionados. In that case, it might go very smoothly, or there could be no end of problems, too. In fact, I've heard of cases recently where containers have been stuck in the aduana for months and months at a time, just due to some stupid paperwork error that might actually be the fault of the idiot aduana guys themselves. Because remember, most of these guys have barely enough brain power and motivation to pee in a real bathroom. Which is why I always recommend just fly in with a couple bags and maybe a couple boxes. And generally, airport customs will leave you alone. Unless you have something obvious they want to tax. Like, for example, that big screen TV you're hauling around on your back sealed tight in the original box. Big mistake. Then they just might pull you aside and make you pay tax on it. That's why I always say if you're bringing anything new down, repackage it in an old box and make it look, well, just a little bit used. In fact, one gringo I know who goes back and forth to the States quite a bit, just recently he brought through a very expensive Bose stereo system. He repackaged it, kind of crudely, and get this, he stuck a big piece of masking tape on the main unit and wrote in big thick magic marker, dañada, which means damaged. You know, scratch and dent sale and all that. And even went so far as to Photoshop some receipts that showed that he only paid something like $89 for the thing. Yeah, he took a Best Buy receipt for a toaster or blender he bought, and he just Photoshopped it. In fact, he said, that Best Buy receipt has gotten more Photoshop action than any other receipt in history. But this time he said he never had to show the receipt because when they saw that damage sticker on the unit, they waved him on through. But where were we? Oh yeah, we were talking about bringing gold and silver into Latin countries, specifically in Central America. The fact is, I know quite a few people who've brought gold into Mexico and point south, but they've always brought in sort of small amounts, usually under 10 ounces. By the way, 10 ounces today would be valued at around $12,000. You could live a nice life down here for a year on that kind of money. And so far, no one I know has had any problems bringing that amount in. However, I wouldn't be so optimistic, since these Latin customs and aduana guys are kind of unpredictable. See, the thing is, when you're standing in front of them getting interrogated, or you get let into a room at the airport or whatever, or at a land border, you're at the mercy of these guys, especially if you don't speak Spanish. And unfortunately, even though the lawyers recommend it, you can't always have a pretty girl at your side when a government slug's trying to shake you down. That said, I know for a fact it's pretty easy to get a roll of 1 ounce gold coins in and out of Latin American countries. I've done it many times. But being a gringo, I always have a plan B in mind if things go south. I always carry a numismatic coin book with me, either a blue or a red book. That's what they're called, by the way. They come out yearly and tell the value of various coins throughout the world. And I always make sure I have a hard copy of a coin show blurb that's taking place in either that country or a nearby one. In fact, there are hundreds of coin shows every weekend, usually at airport hotels like Holiday Inns and such. Just check it out on the internet. For example, once I took a mix of 21-ounce gold maple leafs and cugrans across a couple of Latin borders, that time by air. I had them all stacked in a little plastic coin collector's tube. I'd walk up to the metal detector, take it out of my pocket and stick it in the little tray, waiting for the fat-ass government slug standing there checking that stuff to give me the third degree, you know, where it came from, what's it worth, why am I traveling with it, but the questions never came. Though I was always ready with my coin book and a hard copy of where the coin shows were in that area. Never needed them, though. So that was my plan B. However, these days, with the bony, malignant finger of Uncle Sam staring everyone down who's leaving the country, my suggestion is to just sell your gold and silver up north, or bury it somewhere. By the way, do that in a tube vertically, not horizontally, because vertically, it becomes a tiny little circular target that's difficult for a metal detector to find. However, as you know, it's a very good idea to have gold and silver down here in Latin America, or anywhere for that matter. To me, it's kind of your last resort survival dough. Now, I suggest you buy your gold and silver when you get down here. And by the way, there are a number of very highly respected, honest, and often recommended gold and silver dealers. You can easily find them on the net. You buy it from them and they'll ship it anywhere in the world. And some of them even have free shipping. And of course, it's fully insured. By the way, always have your gold in hand. Don't leave it at any kind of brokerage firm or warehouse. By the way, this is where your Latin lawyer will really come in handy, because you'll probably want to have it shipped to his business office. That would be the safest and best way to do it. Now, remember this, all Latin American countries have a fairly active numismatic society. In fact, if you look at the big local newspapers, there are always people and businesses in the classifieds and internet sites like OLX.com offering to buy and sell coins. And there are coin shops and antique shops down here in Latin America, especially in the big cities, that do buy and sell various coins, mostly gold and silver. But Richard's right when he says they don't have pawn shops. Well, they don't have pawn shops as we know them up in the States anyway. They generally are just used furniture, appliance, and household goods stores, and that's it. Now, every medium and large Latin city has a number of jewelry repair shops and jewelry fabrication businesses. So, they're buying their gold and silver somewhere, right? Now, once, I walked into one of those shops and I pulled out a 1 ounce gold maple leaf. And the guy behind the counter instantly asked me if I wanted to sell it. And he said if I had more, he'd buy those too. So that does answer the question of who will buy your gold from you. So that said, I wouldn't worry much about bringing gold down, but silver is way too heavy. If you want silver, buy it over the internet and have it shipped down. And believe me, if everything else goes to crap and you've got gold and silver, you'll be the richest gringo or gringa in Babylon. Oh, and I almost forgot about that business of your lawyer accepting a shipment of gold or silver for you. Even better yet, you have him order the gold and silver in his name and his credit card, whatever. And guess what? You just broken the link between you and the malignant bony finger of Uncle Sam. As Gomer Pyle would say, Shazam. Because you know, there are reporting requirements for gold and silver. Did you know that the U.S. government requires two reporting obligations that bullion dealers and coin dealers have to submit to the IRS when customers buy gold or silver? Well, here's how it shakes out. The IRS has a form called 1099-B that applies to specific bullion sales. So dealers who sell you certain kinds of bullion have to report it and you to the IRS. So right now, if you buy certain gold coins or bars that weigh over 1 kilo, that's 32.15 troy ounces, the dealer will fill out that 1099-B on you. And if you buy any silver bars or certain silver coins that weigh over 1,000 troy ounces, they'll fill out that 1099 on you. Remember, it's not you filling this out, it's the dealer that's going to fill it out and send it to the IRS. So think about it. If it's your Latin lawyer who's making the purchase, he's a foreign citizen, and that's where it ends. Again, I'm not advocating doing anything illegal. I'm just telling you what a lot of expats do. But there's more. If you buy more than 25 one-ounce Canadian gold maple leafs, gold cougarans, or gold Mexican onces, the dealer will fill out a 1099-B on you. But remember, 25 one-ounce coins today is worth over $30,000, so that's not small change. Which is why people buy slightly less, then the dealer won't report them. I mean, those are the rules, correct? But that's not all. Did you know that when you sell gold or silver back to a U.S. coin dealer, in many cases, he'll send that information to the IRS? Again, there are legal loopholes, and this is the breakdown. For example, you can sell any amount of the following coins to a coin dealer or whatever, and he won't report it. Starting with Australian Perth Mint coins, Austrian coins, like the Philharmonic, Canadian Maple Leafs that are silver, not gold, Chinese pandas, and, get this, any and all gold and silver coins that are under 1 ounce denomination. In other words, if you have a drawer full of, or even a dump truck full of Canadian maple leafs that are not 1 ounce, but under 1 ounce, like half ounce, quarter ounce, whatever, the dealer who buys them does not have to fill out a 1099-B form. And this might be the best loophole of all. Did you know that United States 1 ounce gold coins, that would be the Eagles, are completely exempt from the buying and selling reporting requirements of bullion dealers? Don't know how that happened, but it did. Now, there's the IRS Form 8300 that deals with reporting cash transactions over $10,000 on a single transaction or a series of so-called related transactions within a 24-hour period. However, if you're smart, you can beat them at their own game legally because of their own definition of what is a cash transaction. Now, get this. According to the IRS, cash is defined as a cashier check, U.S. and foreign coins and currency, money order, bank draft, or traveler's check having a face amount of 10 grand or less. And here's what they say is not cash and therefore not reportable. A check drawn on the payer's own account, that's your own personal check, bank wires, credit and debit card payments, PayPal payments, and ACH transfers regardless of the amount. So there you have it. Just buy and sell gold using instruments that are not designated as cash. Then the dealer does not have to fill out a 1099-B or that Form 8300 that has to do with cash transactions over $10,000. Now, I have a really nice report that explains all of this in great detail. So if you want a copy, just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll ship it off to you. Now back to our email. Richard says, Johnny, have you thought that when things really hit the fan up north, all foreigners might just be deported regardless of legal status? Since Latin American bureaucrats tend to make up the rules as they go along? As if pus-brained American politicians don't. Well, here's my general response to that. You know, the foreigners in any Latin American country, for example, are treated as kind of special first-class visitors. We invest, we create businesses and jobs, etc., etc. Why do you think the U.S. government gets so upset when we take our assets and leave? And know this, any government, including Latin governments, for example, can change the rules as they go along, like the Dominican Republic has done. It used to be when you had your permanent residency, you could get your passport, your nationality papers, in 4 years. Then they changed it to 5, and now they've moved it to 8. But the point is, you see, once you've waited out the time and are a nationalized citizen with a passport, you're a citizen, period, and your citizenship cannot be revoked. So Latin governments can mess around with temporary and permanent residency, your visa privileges, and the time you can be in and out of the country. But once you've got that passport, you're a citizen permanently. In fact, in most countries, the only way you lose your passport is if you voluntarily renounce your citizenship or you're convicted of treason. Oh, by the way, here's a cool story. A new friend of mine, Gringo, came down to my Expat Insider seminar, bought one of those really nice handmade leather zipper belts in the little town of Panachel at Lake Atitlan for, get this, around $12. By the way, if you come down to my seminar and go on one of John Galt's pre or post trips to Lake Atitlan, you'll be able to pick up a couple of those belts for yourself. And don't think you'll find these belts on the internet. You won't. Anyway, when this guy got back to the States, he slipped 20 one-ounce Canadian maple leaf gold coins into the zipper part, all lined up end-to-end, no overlapping. Then, some months later, he came back to my seminar as a repeat offender. And when he changed planes, which was twice, he did the usual, took off his shoes. But when he took his belt off, he said he wound it up in a nice tight coil like a snake, so that when he placed it in the plastic bucket and it went through the x-ray machine, the viewer would see the belt not flat, but on edge. He was thinking, hoping, that only the edges of the coins would be picked up by the x-ray. And that's what happened because no one said a thing. Though he was ready with Plan B, the coin collector alibi too, just in case.
South of the border.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want me to help you sort out your own Latin American plans, schedule a one-on-one consult with me. Just send an email and let me know at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.